Support for Classical Music According to Yehuda comes from the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, offering independent living on two campuses in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts. Lathrop.Kendall.org. In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani continue a series of conversations about fakes, forgeries, and lost or misattributions in music.
Yehuda Hanani, we've been on a very interesting trail here of fakes in both art and music. And last time we heard about Fritz Kreisler and how he imitated a whole bunch of people, including Beethoven, and got away with it until he was 60 years old, and then he fessed up. So what do you got for us today?
Well, I think we should really look at this whole idea of attaching a name to a work of art. Or to quote Shakespeare, what's in a name? If you look back in history, ancient, great, massive, successful works of art, let's say the pyramids. Sure. Nobody signed his name. The architects of the pyramids did not sign their name to the pyramids. All those Assyrian carvings, those wonderful temples. If you go to China, there's fabulous artistic creations. And all you are told is, this is from this dynasty, this is from the Ming dynasty. No, there are no names attached. It was always the work of art that came first, and the artist was almost not there. Early church frescoes, Byzantine mosaics, all those wonderful creations, they don't bear names. The focus is always on the work. Quite often you go into a church and it says, this is the master of so-and-so, or from the school of the Venetian school, but no names. There are a few exceptions. Phidias, the famous, legendary Greek sculptor from the 4th century BC, who was copied numerous times by Romans later on. He's the one who actually created the entire Parthenon. So he is a name that entered history. There is one that I'm very fond of. His name was Gilibertus. And he carved an entire church, Romanesque artist. We're talking 1,000 years ago or so. He carved an entire church in France, in Autun. 40 years of his life he spent carving the top of the columns with biblical scenes. And then, when he finished, he did a huge tympanum with the figure of Jesus. And at the feet of Jesus, he wrote, Gilibertus hoc fecit. Gilibertus created this, did this. And I always tell my students, I always was fascinated by this man. First of all, the dedication. 40 years of his life, one place, one work of art, basically. And then when he finishes, he writes his name down at the feet of his Savior. I tell my students, there's a difference between arrogance and pride. This man was very proud, and he wrote his name down. So,
on the other hand, Yehuda, I'm sure there'll be somebody who says he was arrogant.
Well,
because that's what we face in life.
We disagree. I think that he felt that he was justified, and he was modest enough to put it, of course, at the feet of his God.
But I'm not saying that I believe that. I'm just simply saying, well, there will always be people who will ascribe bad motives to people who do.
Unfortunately,
things.
That's part of human nature. If you look at any every anthology of poetry, the first few pages, quite a few of them, will say anonymous on the poem. And I opened the Oxford Book of English Verse. The first page has a beautiful poem. It's called Summer Is a Coming In.
Summer Is a Coming In, Lodi Sing Cuckoo.
That's it!
I know it very well, yeah.
Bravo, Alan. 12th century. And there is a piece of music, a beautiful round that goes with it. And this round is also anonymous. Somebody wrote a fabulous piece of music to sing this lovely song. And it's about the arrival of summer and the happiness of the animals, you know, loudly sing cuckoo, including Dear Flatulence.
Ooh.
Buck farteth.
Can we say that on the radio?
I think we are allowed to say this on the radio. It's an old English, medieval
Absolutely.
English.
Absolutely.
Oh.
So, let's proceed.
And this delightful canon is surprisingly modern sounding. It's even though it comes from a 13th century monastery in England. Why don't we listen to it? I thought before, maybe we can ask Sarah to read the modern English translation, if we could call it translation, of these few words.
And Sarah, for those people who don't know, is the brilliant producer who puts all of this together.
That's right.
Summer has come, sing loudly, cuckoo. Seed grows and meadow blooms, and now the wood has come into leaf. Sing, cuckoo. Ewe bleats after lamb, cow lows after calf. Bullock prances, stag farts. Sing merrily, cuckoo.
Sommer ist sie kommen in, nur es singen Kuckuck. Grau ist sad und blau ist mad, es springt verwunden. Sing Kuckuck, aue blättert auf der Lomb und auf der Kalbe. Bollock stärtet, Bucke fährtet, müde sing Kuckuck. Kuckuck, Kuckuck, well sing es Kuckuck, es wird unabend. Sommer ist sie kommen, 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 Sommer ist sie kommen,
To learn about Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.